The subject of our consideration, as already announced, is meditations on the three halls. We had, just before we started the talk, had a reading from the first fragment of the Voice of the Silence, the devotional book, the Voice of the Silence, on the three halls. Now, this is a very important subject. It refers to the three states of human consciousness. It is very important that we must understand these three states of human consciousness, as that is the very first step towards true knowledge, towards spiritual knowledge. By spiritual knowledge we mean the knowledge of the self. Study of these three planes of life, the waking, the dream, and the dreamless, is the very first step in the progress that we have to make in spiritual life. Mr. Judge has given very perceptive teachings on these three planes of human life. It is very important that we must carefully pay attention to what he says. And then we have in the transactions to Blavatsky Lodge, we have a chapter on the dreams in which HPP gives a very deep insight into this whole mystery of the three planes of life. What you have, what the teachings have given in the transactions is, in fact, is difficult to obtain anywhere else. And it is a subject so vast that it is scarcely possible to do any justice in a talk of just 30 minutes. So what we will do is, we'll just reflect on what is taught in the Voice of the Silence as the three halls, with reference to what Mr. Judge has taught on the three planes of human life, and also refer to Mandukya Upanishad, which has very important verses on the three states and the fourth, and also consider a few verses which are said to be written by the great teacher Gaudapada Acharya. So in order to comprehend the right meaning of the three planes of human life, metaphorically mentioned in the Voice of the Silence of the Three Halls, we'll consider these teachings in brief. Now, what does the Voice of the Silence say? It says, three halls, O weary pilgrim, lead to the end of toils. Three halls, O conqueror of Mara, will bring thee through three states into the fourth, and thence into the seven worlds, the worlds of rest eternal. Here, pilgrim is spoken of. Pilgrim is the pilgrim soul, the ego, evolving ego, pilgrim soul. We are all souls. We are all on a long pilgrimage of life, which began so far back in time when even earth had not been formed, as Mr. Judge teaches that we were journeying with the deity even when the solar system was formed. The journey began there. And going through all the experiences of the manifested individual and cosmic life, in order to assimilate all the planes of life and states of consciousness, in order finally at the end to come to a conscious realization of the oneness of self with all self, with the supreme self. Every soul is in fact essentially one with the supreme, but it has to realize it consciously. Inherent perfection is no perfection. It has to be earned by merit. So, though potentially all souls are no different from the Supreme Soul, yet each soul has to come to an understanding of it, realization of it by conscious effort, by assimilating experiences of all the planes and states of consciousness. It can do so only by passing through the whole of the life, personally and individually, through a series of reincarnations, metempsychosis, governed by the law of karma. Now it speaks of weary pilgrim. Now, the souls having emanated would be more correct, from the universal soul, have inherent in it a karmic impulse towards this goal of acquiring self-consciousness, for which it has to pass through all the kingdoms of nature, beginning with the mineral, the vegetable, animal, and it is a very long journey through metempsychosis, transmigrations, by natural impulse, natural evolutionary impulse. And the whole purpose of it is to come to the human stage where human form is the most perfect form, after the fashion of the heavenly man, and which is in touch with the whole of the manifested universe, the human form. And after having come to that human form, acquiring self-consciousness, now its further journey is through self-induced, self-devised ways and means checked by its own karma, through a long series of reincarnations. And in each of these stages of evolutionary journey in the human kingdom, in the human stage, every soul in its embodied existence goes through these three planes of human life. These three planes of human life is spoken of here as the three halls. So the weary pilgrim is the weary journey. And it is mentioned, three halls, O weary pilgrim, lead to the end of toils. So the final goal can be reached only through learning, through these three states of human existence. Not only is it waking, dream and a deep sleep state, but also in the longer cycle of incarnated life, analogous to waking consciousness, and then the kamalokic life, analogous to dream state after the death of the body, and then the experience of the heavenly bliss called Devakar, analogous to the deep, deep state. So it is through these three states during the life, incarnated life goes through these three states, circles through these three states of waking, dreaming and deep sleep, and back again through waking, dreaming and deep sleep, making this cycle. And in its egoic journey through eternity, it goes through many incarnations corresponding to these three states of terrestrial life and body, and then its kamalokic life, and then the devakaric life. So there is a perfect parallel. And then fourth state is spoken of, which is mentioned in the footnote as the Turiya state of consciousness. The meaning of Turiya is the fourth state. Now, Mr. Judge teaches in his discourse on the three states that the path before every soul is two. One is the cycle of incarnation. After each cycle of incarnation, it either enters into the state of enlightenment, which if once entered, the soul cannot return unless it decides to do so voluntarily, and the other path which the reincarnating ego enters is the state of postmortem states, which does not lead to enlightenment but symbolically, metaphorically referred to as, let's mark the word metaphorically, not literally taken, enters into the region of the moon or the lunar realm, and after a while enjoying its share of bliss in postmortem life, returns to earth life. So these two states are there. Now, the first state spoken of, wherein after, even during life, even before death, one enters into the state of enlightenment, and when the body is cast off, enters into a conscious, independent existence in spirit, and that is the state of emancipation. But we cannot reach the state of emancipation all at once, not even several incarnations when we first begin to make the effort. It can happen, we can come to that stage only through paying attention to the final, our final goal in life, and strive after our union with our Supreme Self, and assimilating the experiences of the life, and studying. The very first step in this discipline, in this effort at self-realization, as already mentioned, is to carefully study these three states. Because we come to a knowledge of the true self only when we study these three states: Jagrat, waking state; Swapna, the dream state; and Sushupti, the dreamless state. Now, the point that we have to consider is, are these three states watertight compartments, or are they different from one another? We experience waking life, we experience dream, we experience deep sleep state, but we do not remember when we are dreaming that the experience of the waking life. Some part of the dream we may remember during waking life, but much of the dream is forgotten, and we are ignorant of what happens in the dreamless state. So, from one point of view of our this ignorance, we may mistakenly take this as the three different selves are acting in three different planes. This is not so. The important point to be borne in mind is that only one self acts through all these three planes and retains the memory of it all. This is a very important point that we have to bear in mind. Now, what we will do now is consider a few verses from Mandukya Upanishad on these three states of consciousness and the fourth, Kriya, and two or three verses only of Gaudapada Acharya's commentary, because it gives us a very deep insight into this very important subject. So I will read the verses and then put it in English, right? We'll pick out a few verses. The second verse of Mandukya Upanishad says, Sarvam Etat Brahma, all this is one life, Brahma. Brahma is one life impartite, without second. There is only one life, there is only one, not many. This is the basic proposition of esoteric philosophy. And all this is one. When the whole matter, universe, differentiated universe has come from the one, pervaded by the one, resolved into the one. All these different things that we see are not actually different. All this is nothing but the self. That is the basic proposition. Sarvam hi etat brahma. So what is the conclusion? I am Atma Brahma. Therefore I am also Brahma. I am also that one life. So this I am Atma, this individual self, Chatushpat, it has four aspects. It is not Pada, it is aspect. When you say Chatushpat, you must not understand it has four legs. No, it is four aspects. So I am Atma Brahma, Chatushpat, it has four aspects. What are these four aspects? The next verse speaks of it. And what are the characteristics of each of these four states that we are going to consider now? Waking state is called Jagaritasthana. Jagaritasthana, waking state. What are the characteristics of it is Bahishpragna, external consciousness. So in a waking state we always look outward and enjoy the objects of sense outside of us. We never look inside. That is the characteristic of waking consciousness, Bahishpragna. And it is Saptanga, it is septenary in nature. Why septenary? Everything in the universe is septenary. The macrocosmos is consisting of seven principles. So is a human being consisting of seven principles. So every state of consciousness has seven aspects. So here, even this waking man is septenary. Saptanga. And then Ekuna Vimshati Mukaha. She has 19 aspects. What are these 19 aspects? In the morning, during our IC study, we were considering the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna was teaching, was teaching about the what the Kshetra is and what the Kshetrajna is and what does the body consist of. In fact, we made a comment on that, right? He speaks of egoism, intellect, mind and avyakta, the unmanifest spirit. And then he speaks of the five objects of sense, which makes nine, right? And to that if we add 10 organs of action and sensation, we have 19. So all the beings consist of these. Unmanifest spirit, avyakta, which is the basis of a undifferentiated universal or cosmic substance from which the objective phase of the cosmos is made, is differentiated, and becomes the object, upadhi of the kshetrajna in its various degrees of differentiation. So we have avyakta, egoism, and then intellect, buddhi, and then mind, and then you have five objects of sense, and we have 10 organs of sensation and action. So we have 19 aspects. Every being has 19. See, what you see here is not these principles the same in all. Come from the same one life, so there is universal brotherhood. So we may very clearly discern this universal brotherhood. So Jagaristhana, waking life, Bahishpragna, the external consciousness, tendency to see outside of oneself, Saptanga, he is septenary, and he has 19 aspects, Sthula Book, which means he enjoys the external objects of sense, gross, objects of sense. So, and he's called Vaishvanara. So this is, since this is common to all, right? This is the spirit manifesting in the state of waking consciousness in all. Vaishvanara. So this is Prathamapada. So this is the first aspect. Now coming to the second aspect, Swapnasthana. Swapnasthana. This is the second hall in the voice of the silence. He is Antahpragna. Why he is Antahpragna? Because what the ego, the perceiver sees in dreams is not external objects, but the waking impressions which are the seeds of the various scenes that he creates in the dream world, he sees within himself, Antahpragnaha. Right? He is also Ekona Vimshati, Saptanga, he is also sevenfold, Ekona Vimshati, he has 19 aspects. And then his Previvikta book, which means that he experiences only the internal impressions as external objects within himself. And his Dvitiya Padaha, this is second aspect of the second part of our three states of life, three conditions of life. And coming to the dreamless state, this is what is said in the Mandukya Upanishad. It says, wherever there is no desire, wherever there is no dream, in the sleep condition, that is called Sushupti. Na yatra suptaha, na kanchana kamam, kamayate, there is no desire. Na kanchana swapnam pasyati, no dreams are seen, tat shuptam, that is called sushuptam. And what are the characteristics of this deep sleep state? Sushuptasthana eki bhutaha, only one consciousness is one, not many, is one, eki bhutaha, prajnana gana. It is one consciousness, and it is anandamaya, it is full of bliss, and anandabhava is enjoyer of bliss. And chetomukaha, why he is called chetomukaha is, that is, the dreamless state is a state from which the waking and the dream follow. Therefore he is chetomukaha, his attention is directed towards, his tendency is towards dream and the waking state. In other words, tendency is towards externalizing his consciousness. Why? Why that is so, we'll come to that a little further. And this is called prajna, tritiya padam. This is the third aspect. Now, what Gaudapada Acharya says here is, of the three states, these three states are not three different things, but the three aspects of one consciousness. This we must remember, three aspects of one consciousness. Bahihi pragyo vibhu vishvaha, vishva. The consciousness which sees, externalizes, consciousness, sees, enjoys objects of sense outside of itself, it is called Vishwa. That's why it is Vaishvanara, right? Antapragyastu Thaijasaha. The one, the consciousness, the mind, which the ego, which sees and perceives within itself, its own consciousness, developing the seeds of the impressions of the waking life, which becomes the object of its perception and experience. Therefore, it is Antahpragnaha, Taijasa. And then Ghanaprajnastata Prajna, the one mass of consciousness, which is not actually different. It is Prajna. Sushupti state is called Prajna. Now, he says, Eka Eva Tridasmutaha. All these three states are to be understood as one, not three. Because one and the same consciousness works in all the three states. So, in this body, there is only one self which functions in three aspects. This has to be understood by us. Now, he goes on to say, Dakshinamukhe Vishwa. Now, look at this word, Dakshinamukha. The southern aspect, again a symbolical thing, southern aspect. The outgoing, Chetomukha, Dakshinamukha, it is one and the same, outgoing. Tendency to externalize the consciousness. And as one of the Upanishads, Katha Upanishads say, the self being pierced opening outwards and look outward, this tendency to look outward, Dakshinamukha. Dakshinamukhe Vishwa. Manasyantastu Thaijasaha. The consciousness which, the ego which perceives within itself, it is Thaijasa, in its own light, right? Akashecha Hriti Prajna. Now, that Prajna, the state of consciousness of the ego, the higher ego, it knows past, present and the future. Therefore, it is called Prajna. So, it is full of knowledge and it is one consciousness. Therefore, it is called Ghana. Akashe Hriti Prajna. Trida Dehe Vyavasthitaha. In these three forms, it is resident in the body. So, when the waking life, you know, becomes still, when the body goes to sleep, and then the dream begins. And again, initially, the dream is made from the impressions of the waking state, in one respect. And also, the dream state, in the dream state, the dreamer sees the actions of the higher ego, right? Which whatever he perceives of the actions and thoughts of the higher ego, divine ego, of course becomes mixed with the waking impressions which contaminate the dream life, and it is lost. So, and then when the dream life ends, dream life comes to an end, the ego is in its own realm of spiritual life, in its own realm, and it is full of bliss, it is full of knowledge of past, present and the future. So, it is called Prajna. Prajna means one who knows, one who is full of knowledge, he can Prajna. He knows past, present and the future. So, there is threefold enjoyment by the ego. Waking life enjoyment, and experience of dream life, and then experience of the dreamless life. And then in the waking life, the object of the senses, which the waking consciousness, the ego in the waking consciousness enjoys, gives the facility for its experience and development. In the dream state, it enjoys those, in the dream condition, it develops those corresponding faculties and strengthens them. It is part of the evolutionary progress. In the dreamless state, the ego enjoys its inherent bliss, and as taught in theosophy, it confabulate with gods and partakes of divine ambrosia. So it's full of spiritual life. Now, next very important teaching is given by Gaudapada Acharya. What he says is, the one who sees and enjoys in all these three stages, bhuktru, and the object of enjoyment, bhogya, right? Bhojya. Now, if we come to a perfect understanding of the nature of the perceiver in all these three states and the objects of the experience in all these three states, when a perfect knowledge of this arises, then he becomes free from the binding effect of these three states. That's what the teacher says. So it is through realization of the nature of the seer and the experiencer that he is different from all these three states, right? And though he experiences all these three states, yet he is inherently free and he is one experiencing the three different states. One, a knowledge of this arises, then the experiences of all these three states will not have a binding effect on the soul. And then he goes on to show that all that we think what the world is, what we are, right? These impressions of ours, thinking of ours, of the nature of the world, nature of self, our experiences, is not real. It is something that we have superimposed upon reality. So he speaks of various ways by which we try to find the meaning of life. So he summarizes as six kinds of views of what reality is. Right? One view is that all this is vibhutis. Vibhuti means manifestations of oneself, one supreme self, Ishvara. Vibhutim prasavam. That is all manifestation of Ishvara. And this is spoken of, this is the outlook of those thinkers who believe in creation. There is another school which says all that we see and experience is of the nature of illusion. That's one, another school. And there is a third school. The people belonging to the third school say that they firmly believe that all this is the desire of the Lord. So there is nothing other than that. And there are still people belong to another school and they are called Kalachintakas. They say that all this is the result of manifestation of Kala, time. And there is another school which says all this is for the purpose of experience. And the sixth school say all this is nothing but Krida or Leela of the Supreme. Now what the teacher says is all these are various superimpositions that we put on reality. These are not true, these are not real. So he questions, when aptakamasya kaspraha, that is, one in whom the self, the supreme self, which is aptakama, which is all the desires are fulfilled, when omniscience and omniscience is the nature of the self, when everything is fulfilled, then where is the question of desire? So all this is nothing but various superimpositions that we make upon reality. Now, coming to the fourth state coming to the fourth state, a very important teaching. Now, see what the Upanishads say. This fourth state is Turiya, because Turiya itself means fourth. What does it consist of? So, it is impossible to say what the fourth state is. It can only be described by a series of negatives. It is not this, it is not this, it is not this. Because that is your true self. It is not even your deep state is your true self. The deep sleep state is an aspect of the Supreme. So, a series of negatives is spoken of here. Na antahprajnaha. It is not internal consciousness. Na bahirprajnaha. It is not external consciousness. Na upayataha. It is neither of these. It is not any of these two. It is not prajnam. It is not prajna. It is not prajnanagana. It is not aprajna. So it is not consciousness. It is not unconsciousness. It is not ego. It is not non-ego. It is adrishyam. It is unseen. Avyavaharya. It is not concerned in any deed, vyavahara. Agrahyam. It cannot be grasped. Alakshanam. It has no distinguishing signs or marks. Achintyam, it cannot be thought of. Avyapadeshyam, which means that it cannot be known by any external sounds. And a very beautiful expression is used. Ekatma pratyasaram. Ekatma pratyasaram. Now, our mind is constantly modified. So, all our external experiences is due to the modifications of mind. So, all that we experience is due to the modifications of the mind. It is called pratyaya. So, when all the modifications are hindered and mind is concentrated only on the self, it becomes then ekatma pratyaya sarva. The essence of only one modification, which is reflecting the purified chitta, thinking principle, reflects the self undefiled in all its purity, ekatma pratyaya sarva. And when that happens, prapanchopashamam, the universe doesn't exist anymore for you, shantam, everything is subsided, no manifestation. Shivam, pure, Advaitam, one, Chaturtam manyate, this is the Turiya state. Atma sa vijnayam, that is the true self. Now, what the great teacher says is, he says, Nivrutte sarvadukkhanam ishanaha prabhur avyaha. This is the only way by which all your sorrows can end. Till this is realized, you are bound to misery of conditioned existence. So, the self, which is explained in the Turiya state of consciousness, Nivruttehe sarvatukkhanam ishanaha prabhur avyayaha advaitaha sarvabhavanam Devaha, Turiyo, Vibhu, Smritaha. He is Devaha, he is divine. Advaitaha, one. Advaitaha, Sarva Bhavanam. Every experience is ultimately related to and resolved into that one. So everything you see as that one itself. Advaitaha, Sarva Bhavanam. Devaha, Turiyo, which is the fourth state, Vibhu, the Lord, Smritaha, it should be understood as that. Now, the next question we'll consider and that will stop. In the voice of the silence is mentioned that the deep sleep state, Sushipti, right? It is called the hall of wisdom. Rightly so, because Prajnana, prajna, right? He is prajna. So he is full of bliss and full of knowledge. And yet he is bound. Yet he is bound. So we will consider this very important teaching of Gaudapada Acharya. He explains this. He is bound. And we can yet understand this by referring to what HVB says in the Key to Theosophy, speaking on the mystery of the ego. She says, the ego is divine. Our true ego, which is spoken of in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, 13th chapter, as Ahankara, right? Ahankara is ego, right? Though he is a god, but he is not a happy god, says his baby. His knowledge itself, no doubt, right? He knows past, present and the future. The one thread of unbroken consciousness right from the time of its emanation from the Supreme to its final absorption, it has passed through so many transformations, right from the inception of evolution of the solar system, right? All that experiences, knowledge is there. And therefore he is a godly, our true ego is godly. Yet he is not a happy god because he has not the complete knowledge of Paramartha Tattva. And that's what Gaudapada Acharya says, fits in perfectly well with what HPB is saying. He has not complete self-consciousness. Full, complete self-consciousness is not yet, it has not yet come to him. So he has to pass through individually and personally through all the experiences in order to obtain that complete self-consciousness or complete enlightenment. So in that connection, the great teacher here says is, now the waking consciousness, and the dream consciousness, we are bound because of cause and effect relationship. Produce a cause and feel the effects. In waking state we produce numerous causes and we experience the effects of it not only in the waking state but also in the dream state. And dream experiences has an effect on the waking state. So we are bound by cause and effect relationship, right? But in the case of prajna, in the case of the dreamless condition, there is only one cause which binds him, right? And that cause is tattva agrahana, tattva agrahana. He doesn't comprehend the principle of ultimate reality. So therefore there is a seed of avidya in him. It is because of the seed avidya he becomes dakshinamukha, chetomukha. Now the seed of avidya has to be gotten rid of. This is what the great teacher is teaching here. Now, in the waking and the dream state, we see duality. But in the dream state, the duality is not perceived by the ego in its own realm, right? But he is in a state of sleep condition. Now, what is the sleep condition? He says, Bijanidra. What is this Bijanidra? Now, there are two kinds of illusion that comes to us, right? In the waking state and the dream state, we see things and experience things and mistake them to be realities, right? We labor at a mistaken notion. How? You see a rope, and then in the darkness you mistake it to be a serpent, and then you are scared. With that scare, so many other things follow. Fear and all other things follow. But actually it is not snake, it is only a rope. But when the knowledge that it is a rope arises in you, then your fear is subsided, you know the reality, right? So this is called anyatha grahana. That is, to apprehend things wrongly, by mistakenly. Apprehending things which they are not actually. Anyatha grahana. So in the waking and the dream state, we have two kinds of illusion. First is tattva agrahana. We do not know the principles of man and nature, the principles of right action. We don't know none of this. And therefore comes anyatha grahana, wrong apprehension of things which they are actually not. But in the dream state, there is only anyatha grahana is not there. But only what is there is only tattva agrahana, that non-comprehension of the principles of the Supreme Truth. So once it is overcome, when the ego overcomes that through its accumulation of experiences, through these three states of waking, dream and deep sleep state, and the corresponding states through reincarnation cycle of the terrestrial existence and the postmortem states of existence and assimilation of experiences, come to a stage when it is able to overcome this illusion and realize its true nature to be the fourth state, which is complete enlightenment, and then only it becomes a wakeful self. So till then it is not enlightened. That kind of a non-enlightened but full of knowledge, but not enlightened state is called Bija Nidra. So all of us are asleep. So we are all sleep walking. It's only those who understand and apprehend, become one with the Supreme, and realize that oneself works in all this and separate from all this. The fourth state of Surya consciousness, only they are awakened. Only they are awakened. For them, there is neither sleep, nor dream, nor deep sleep, neither birth, nor death. And then he goes on to show, then there is neither teacher, nor disciple, neither evolution, nor creation. So all this disappears from his view. All this is your projections of your thinking principle, modification of thinking principle, and superimposing on the reality and mistaking them to be what they are not. So this is we could consider a few more verses, but then we'll have to end here. And one important teaching that we have to remember, and that is, in the dream state, we have, in the dreamless state, where the ego is in its true condition, right? It is, as already said, full of knowledge and wisdom. But then, when we come back to the waking life, those knowledge, the tremendous knowledge and bliss and wisdom should accrue to us, but it doesn't happen because of the reason that we make our dream life very disturbing, very disturbed by our inattentive and careless waking life. So if waking life is made pure with the knowledge of these truths and the living rules of the higher life, if we have the waking life concentrated, calm, right, and contemplative, and not be moved by impulses, passions and desires, right, and maintaining equanimity and calmness at all times, then in the dream state will be clear. See, if a waking state is disturbed, dream state will invariably be disturbed. So, by a clean and a clear, calm and pure waking life, by living that kind of a concentrated waking life, we enter into the dream state, you know, then the dream state will be less disturbed and there is more chance of the dreamer catching the glimpse of the knowledge and the doings and the thoughts of the divine ego and retain that and bring it into his waking life. Because when the dreamer goes into dream state and when the dream state also stops and the deep sleep state is there, and in the deep sleep state the ego is free, and when it has to come back to the waking state through the dream state, it is at that time that the dreamer catches a glimpse of the doings of the divine soul. And if the dream life is disturbed and it is polluted, then naturally all that is apprehended by the dreamer of the doings of the knowledge communicated by the divine ego is lost. So this is a very important teaching that Theosophy gives us, that we must through study of this meditate on this one important point, that there is one self which experiences all these states, all these three states, that oneself knows all the experiences of the waking, all the experiences of the dream, all the experiences of the dreamless state. And if our waking life is made so concentrated, so focused and pure, so that this is more and more realized both in the waking and the dream, then this knowledge of the one in three aspects become more and more clear to us by way of experience. Then we will be able to retain the memory of the waking state in the dream state and all the experiences of the dream state in the waking state, and bring the memory of the dream state into the dreamless state, into the dream and into the waking state. So this is one of the important disciplines that Theosophy teaches us, and this is the first step towards self-knowledge. I think we'll stop here. We have just about 5 minutes. If you can consider any questions. Third stage, that is in the waking state, you know, we always have tend to look, rarely look inward, right? We always tend to look outward. In the dream state, where are you looking? You're looking inside, isn't it? Example is given here by Gaudapada Acharya, right? He says, in the dream state, you're in Bahamas, where you're in Bangalore. And how long the dream state lasts? A few minutes, a few seconds. Can you go to Bahamas in few seconds, come back? No. So what does it prove? That what you saw in the dream, that you went to Bahamas, actually you didn't go there. You saw it within yourself. Because the memory impressions of your Bahamas experience became the seed of creating that scene. And there's a seer there. Someone is seeing. And there's an object that you're seeing. Are they different? You have created those objects and experiencing them. Isn't it? You have created those objects and you're seeing them and you're thinking it is different from you. You're different from that. All this is illusion. It is your own creation within yourself. When you wake up, you're in Bangalore, not in Bahamas. So it's a proof that it is antapragna. Dreamless state. See, the ego, when it becomes cheto mukaha, it is tendency to look outward. Because why? It is still in, the Bija Nidra is still there. It is still not, doesn't know the complete truth. So it has to go through these three states of consciousness. When the waking state is assumed, the higher ego is there. Only its alter ego, the personal self, is experiencing the waking state. The same personal self experiences the dream state. And these two, dream and waking state, they subside. And then ego becomes free. The ego which sustains these two states. Ego doesn't actually descend into these three states. It is reflection. The reflection of the ego in the bodily waking condition, when brain and mind, is a reflection of the ego as personal self. Again, that same personal self in dream state is a reflection of the ego in the dream state. And when these two are quietened and still, because your sensorium and brain has gone to sleep, senses of his sensor abeyance, he becomes free. He roams about in his own divine realm and knows all. Godly consciousness. Godly consciousness. They are the hall of wisdom. And voice of the silence says, seek for your guru in those in that hall. Not in the waking life, not in the dream life, or in the astral world corresponding to the dream life, but in the realm of your higher ego, the divine ego. That's where the true teacher has to be found. And that can only be done by studying these three states of consciousness and realizing the truth that the three states are the three conditions of one consciousness, and come to a realization of the oneness. When you, as Gaudapada Acharya says, when you realize that oneness, that one consciousness we are working through all, upholding the memory of all these states, during the waking state it has to be understood. In the waking state, you cannot learn anything in the dream. You cannot learn anything in the dreamless. It has to be only in the waking state. The waking consciousness, through meditation, through effort, through purification, through concentration, has to come to that clear understanding and experience of that one consciousness in all these three states and upholding the memory of these three conditions. It has to be achieved. So, always keeping in mind the truth that there is but one self and not many. So we see how important these three states are, right?